Come on, let's lift up the name of Jesus Christ. There is none other in heaven or on earth. Welcome to another episode of Hope in Christ with Denise, here on Kingdom Influencers Broadcast, where we place our hope in the only hope there is, Christ our Lord.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. Welcome back to Hope in Christ with Denise here on Kingdom Influencers Broadcast. I am your host, Minister Denise Walker, and I welcome you all back to the show today. Today we have an amazing author that's going to share her book with us. And I just want to, before we introduce her, I want to open this up with a word of prayer. Father, we thank you, O God, for another opportunity to speak your word. God, we thank you, oh God, for those that are listening, that they would hear something that would draw them to you. Lord, we give you glory and we give you honor. And we thank you, Lord God, for all that you are and all that you will ever be in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Again, thank you for returning to us at Hope in Christ with Denise here on Kingdom Influencers Broadcast. I am, again, your host, Minister Denise Walker, founder of Hope in Christ Ministries. Remember that at Hope in Christ, we are healthy, overcomers, purpose, and we maintain an eternal perspective as we seek our eternal destiny in Christ and our identity in Him. And so before we begin, I want to introduce my guest, Shalonda Treasure Williams, and she is a prophet, an author, certified life coach, mother, inspirational speaker, and media personality. And we are so grateful to have her here, and she will tell us a little bit more about herself in just a moment, though. And I pray that you will enjoy hearing about Shalonda. All right, Shalonda, can you tell us a little bit more about yourself?
Yes, I am Shalonda Treasure Williams. I am, as was already stated, author, life coach, full-time minister, but also just one who loves the Lord and excited about what it is that He's doing in my life and excited about what He's doing in the life of those who will be reading each and every book that's published.
Amen. So can you begin by telling us about your new book?
So the book that we're going to be discussing tonight actually is not as new as many people think it is. I mean, I guess it's new to the people who've never heard of it, of course, but No, I'm Not Okay. Excuse Me While I Unmask. That is the name of my latest book. It was published in 2019, but we are still in the thick of it, which means that we're in this season where people are still unmasking. I've been doing unmasking coaching for years, so we're in that place still now where it is so very relevant. Everything about the book is relevant, and so it's still in full swing.
So it sounds like it's awesome. So can you tell us who's the audience? Who's the audience of your book?
And when I think about my audience, I think about those people, definitely those who are believers. People who are not believers in Christ can also read the book and get the message of it. But for those who are full-fledged believers who have had those conversations with God but haven't always been fully honest about how they feel, this is one of those type of books. You know, I wrote it in journal form, really having conversations with God, telling Him how I'm really feeling about the day-to-day situations from the time I was 6 years old all the way up into adulthood. So a part of how we got here is because there were many people who were not able to share their truths in church and ministry. And so I would say my book is there. My audience is them, those who really just need to unmask, take it off, understand that God still loves them exactly the way they are.
Amen, amen. My other question is, I know you mentioned that you were doing workshops with it. And can you tell us about some details about one, at least one part of it?
Yeah, I don't have it right in front of me, of course, but yes, I know the story pretty well. So again, I think I stated that I wrote it in journal entry form, right? And so I also wrote poetry, poems at the beginning of each chapter. And so a part of what I wanted to do is to really just bring people into a real life experience. It's like think of the kid who finds his sister's journal sitting on the bed and he just want to dive in, right, and take a look at everything she's writing. And so from the age of 6 years old up until present age, I wrote about my feelings, my emotions, the moments when I wasn't okay, right? And so the first chapter, I would say, would be one that is pretty interesting to most people because of the title, and the title of it is Crunch and Munch. And so when people read the title, they're not quite sure what they're getting, but what they are getting is the story about a six-year-old girl who really realized that she was giving away sexual favors at 6 years old without really fully understanding what it meant. But I was literally trading it for something else that I thought that I wanted. And so I didn't go in silence. It's not that anybody in my life never knew about it, but the important people didn't know, of course, my mom, my aunts, and those that were around me. And so I really share from the perspective of the little girl that's pretty innocent about things. You know, a lot of the stuff that we did as kids, we don't always feel like it's a bad situation. But when you really begin to think about what those situations have done, what you have done without even knowing that you've done them, then you really begin to feel like, you know, man, I was really in a messed up situation. You know what I mean? Things that people right now today are still going to counseling for, I endured that. And I think the difference between me and many of the children that age was that I had God every step of the way, and I knew that he was present, if that makes sense.
Wow. That is something. And so often, like you said, we don't understand the things that we even are experiencing when we're that young, and not being able to even voice it in our childhood. Because I remember experiencing something when I was a little bit older. But so thank you for sharing that. So my next question is, what inspired you to begin writing? So what was the inspiration for writing?
Actually, I've been writing since I was about that age, I think. My mom would be the one to tell people best because she still holds all that stuff. You know, like she goes through her closets and her attics and all types of stuff, and she pulls out things from like way back when where I was writing poems that may have been 5 sentences long. But even then, though, if I can recall correctly, I had something to actually say. You know, it wasn't, you know, just roses are red, violets are blue, and, you know, I'm going to tie my shoe type of stuff. It was really my inner thoughts and inner feelings about love or how I was being treated or what I was feeling in the situation. So it's been a long time. I've been writing since I was a little kid. I started taking it more seriously, I guess, as I was growing into a teenager, but still just being emotional and writing about my feelings. But I wrote my first book in 2007, and so I've been kind of going strong since then. As a matter of fact, my 11th book will be out at the beginning of May.
Oh, wow. And can you tell us the title of that one?
Your Glow, It Looks So Good on You. That's the subtitle. And I think I wrote that particular book because we already been unmasking, right? We have already been taking off, you know, the mask of, oh, I'm okay, when I'm really not. You know, I'm not angry with the world, but yet on the inside I feel like I'm about to tear some things up. So we've gone through taking our mask off, right, being honest. But can you imagine, like, what it feels like to take a mask off that you've been wearing for the majority of your life, right? Think about how clammy it is underneath there. Think about, you know, the way your skin may look pale because you've been wearing it for so long. And mask off and go through the process. Again, I've been coaching people in unmasking for years, but think about that process, right? You finally get to breathe again. You finally get to do all these things, but yet when you stand up and look at yourself in the mirror, you don't even recognize yourself, and you definitely don't feel like you're glowing. You definitely don't feel like you're beautiful anymore because you've uncovered so much. So we wanted to go from unmasked, still though that's very relevant, but also to helping people to understand what God's glow is and how no matter how much you unmask, you still can wear that particular glow.
Wow, that's good. That's good. That's good. And I know for a fact it's amazing how God just moves and how he's moving right now with those types of things that he's having many of us speak about with revealing your pain. For many years, I even found myself walking in a lot of bondage and covering it up. So it's so important that we as women and people as a whole, that we would take that mask off and allow God to heal us. So thank you for sharing that.
You know what's interesting is that when we do think about, revealing and taking masks off and things like that, in the body it's a little bit more difficult sometimes because, you know, we do definitely indeed have God to help us, but I think we forget that that's his position. His position is, I will help. I'm going to be your help. If we read Romans 12, 1 and 2, we'll understand it to the fullest because we have a job that we must do as well, right? And I think so many of us, we wear a mask for so long because we expect for somebody else to do all the work for us. But the reality is that God is such a gentleman, you know. It's not that he wants to fully expose us, so some things come with our permission. Right, God, I give myself to you, right? I yield to your purpose, I yield to your plan, I yield to your healing me, because if he tries to do it without you giving consent, most of the time it doesn't work. And it's the same thing with unmasking. So we talk about bondage and we talk about all the things that we have gone through in our lives and we expect for God to kind of snatch it away. But the truth is that we must be progressively changed by the renewing of our own minds in order to be transformed. And so it definitely is a lot of work. And it's stuff that can take time, but if we only think that it's going to take, you know, us going up to the deliverance line, then we're mistaken. That's the reason why many people have experienced, you know, that seven times, bringing seven more and more powerful than itself, because we go through deliverance, but we don't go through mind renewal. And so taking the mask off is going to require all of it, and no, it's not always comfortable. So definitely, it's definitely still a need for it in the body right now.
Yes, and as you were talking, I was thinking about sometimes why many people keep a mask on, because they may not feel that they can share. It's so much to those layers, and I agree that we have to surrender, you know, allow God to do it, and I absolutely agree that we have to allow him to do the work, because he's not going to force it on us. So we have to give it over to him. And a lot of times we don't either, want to, or maybe not know how to, and then not wanting to be vulnerable. So, yeah, thank you for sharing it.
Oh, man, you just said a word right there when you talked about vulnerability, right? Because a part of what encouraged me and inspired me to write this book is the headline news. I mean, there were ministers, pastors, teachers, in the news that had committed suicide, right? And you talk about some of their stories and you begin to see a pattern of where, especially leaders, you know, we're so busy pouring into others on a regular, we're so busy tending to everybody else's mental health and spiritual health and, you know, and emotional health and all that, to where they don't always feel like they're able. And now we see it in the news all the time, right, where, you know, if a pastor really does tell his whole truth, you know, the mob squad coming, you know what I mean? So how do you really get to be fully honest? But that's where we have to understand that everybody is not assigned to help us heal, right? So God, his part, of course, is that he's going to lead us and direct us in the way that we should go, right? That means that the person that's supposed to help you unmask, the leader you're covering, those people that are supposed to be in your house to help you along with it, all those things are purpose and strategic for a reason. And so a lot of times, no, we can't tell the whole body. We know there's judgment. We know not just in the body, but, of course, just in the world in general, there's judgment. There's people who may not fully understand it because they never endured it. A person who's never been homeless can't fully be sympathetic most of the time, even though they may want to try. So we have to be able to put ourselves in a position where we know where our vulnerable space is, who we can turn to, who did God place in your life to be able to heal through this situation. So we have to be able to know all of that when we're going through this unmasking process.
Amen, amen, amen. Yes, I totally agree. And I know you mentioned one scripture, but if you could give one scripture that kind of sums up the book, what scripture would it be?
I don't think I can give a scripture that sums up the entire book. I think because of all the different experiences in it, you're talking, you know, the molestation, the rape, the promiscuity, sexual addiction, you know, the losing of fathers and all that. So there's so many different scriptures that could be definitely used. But I would say that I would consider the book as a whole my song. So let's equate it to a whole book, why don't we? But I would equate it to my songs because I'm saying here I am with my heart like David. I love the Lord with everything that's in me, but I've experienced some real live things, and I think David was the greatest example of a real relationship with God, right? My flaws, my everything, you know, I love you. I know your principles and certain things that you just will not find me doing, but there's going to be things that I do that may not be pleasing to you, but we're going to work it out because that's how real love works. Real love works because we connect, and you remind me that you're God, and I remind you that I fear you and I love you and I repent and I fast and I do all these things. That's a real relationship. You know what I mean? I didn't mess up today and you hate me today. You still love me, flaws and all. And so I think that it would be more equal to it being the whole book of Psalms, my psalm, as opposed to it being any particular chapter.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. Thank you for sharing that. And I know as you were talking, you said something about that, you know, that relationship with God. And a lot of times I don't think that we get it. I don't think we really get when you're in a relationship, there's ups and downs. You can tell them what you really feel. And that's one of the things that I learned as I walk with Christ is I can say this hurts. Because he already knows it. And so thank you for sharing. And sometimes there were many years that I thought God hated me and because of the misconception. So thank you for the ministry that you're doing. All right. I have another question for you. I know you said you have your next book that's coming out. But I always ask this question, just a fun question. Where do you see yourself in ministry or in your writing ministry in the next 5 years?
The next 5 years, you say? Well, honestly speaking, this book tour, so I started this book tour with the book that I'm on. So many things have happened in between time, right? So I think that I'm still going to be touring with this particular book for like years and years to come because there's going to always be need for it. But also I'm doing the stage production. I was planning on it being this year and I knew for sure that it was going to happen. And I'm still planning for it to be this year, but I want to move in God's timing with it. I don't want to, you know, rush the process and it not be what he wants it to be. So we have a stage production coming. There will be some conferences coming surrounding it. Right now, I'm in the middle of Revival by Fresh Wind, and so that revival is entitled Unmask and Revive. So we're kind of in the middle of a revival as well surrounding that movement. And I also see myself doing more TV interviews because there are people out even outside of the body, right, who don't even know that they belong to God yet, right, that still have to hear the message, that still has to come to Christ, and I do believe that he's going to use this as a part of how that is going to take place. So it's a lot, man. It's a lot coming with the whole writing thing, and of course, a few more books by that time will be out, and we'll just be doing what we do in the grand scheme of things, but we'll still be writing and still be making things happen.
Amen, amen. So for that person that they can hear you sharing your testimony, sharing your writing, and everything that God has placed in you, what advice would you give them if they're reluctant right now to walk in purpose, to write the book God told them to write, to speak what God told them to speak? What advice would you give them?
You know, that advice can be so widespread, you know, and I really am such a person that deals in individuals, right, because we try to do everything corporately all the time, and I believe that's a big reason why some of us are so lost and so scarred and so whatever. So when it's time for me to speak a general message, I still have to tap into what God wants me to say. And so what he wants me to say now for those who may be apprehensive is, number one, be sure that you're doing it because God wants you to do it, because God needs you to do it, and not because you feel pressured to do it. A lot of people feel like just because one person is writing their story down in the book that they have to write their story down in the book. But the truth is that their story could be used to talk to the person that's sitting at the bus stop, but they may not be meant to be an author. They may be meant to be a whole entrepreneur in another vein. And so I'm very, very, very direct when I say this. Don't do it because you feel like that's the movement. Do it because you know that God has assigned you. And once you know for sure that God has assigned you to write your story or to write, you know, a self-help Christian book or to do whatever, or devotional, once you know that God has assigned you to it, then you need to make sure you put yourself in a position to be to hear his voice. And sometimes when you get ready to hear God's voice, he'll tell you, this is the person that you need to partner up for this. This is the person that needs to coach you through this part. You still need to heal a little bit more before you write that part. There's so much that God will say, but it will get accomplished if you know for sure that this is what God wants you to do. So don't hesitate. Don't hesitate to ask him. Don't hesitate to put yourself in a position to be open, because what you tell may actually save somebody else's life, whether it be one person, whether it be 50. So don't hesitate if you know that God is in it and God is telling you to move on it.
Amen, amen, amen. So, again, thank you for sharing. And tell us how people can connect with you, reach out to you, and also purchase your book.
Well, thank you so much for having me. I really enjoyed the time with you. I actually enjoy your spirit altogether. I know that you have a heart for making sure that people are okay in their relationship and their walk with Christ. And so I just want to honor you and acknowledge you for that. But you can find me, catch up with me at theinspirationaltreasure.com. On that particular site, you can not only find how you can order the book, but you can find how you can connect with me. Find me on all social media outlets that I can think of at Inspirational Treasure. Just don't put the I in front of that. And you can find me and keep up with me that way.
All right. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And any closing remarks before we close out?
No, I think I gave my closing remarks to you. Honestly, I do believe that God has just a wonderful new season in store for you. And I believe that those that have been watching you grow and go through the process with the podcast, ministry, and everything that you have your hands in, they just haven't seen yet everything that God has in store for you. So I'm just really encouraging you to stay on the throne, just stay at his face, because this season that's coming up for you, you've looked forward to it for a long time, but now you're going to begin to live in it. And so that's it. That's my final comment.
Amen, amen, amen. Thank you, thank you, thank you for being obedient. And I'm going to close us out in prayer. Father, we thank you again for this opportunity, the opportunity for someone to hear the truth of the gospel, to hear what you can do in our lives. And we pray, Father God, in the name of Jesus, that wherever they are in the world, that they would seek you, because your word declares that if we seek, we will find. And so we pray, O God, that they would begin to seek after you, O God, and seek your face, O God, and be healed, be made whole in you. So, God, we thank you and we praise you for your woman of God. We pray, O God, that you would bless her indeed, and that you would cover her household and her family and everything that you have her hands in, that you are just making a way out of no way. And we thank you and we give you glory, honor, and praise. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
And again, thank you all for tuning in to Hope in Christ with Denise here on Kingdom Influencers Broadcast. We pray that you will have a phenomenal rest of your week.